like it, I might turn up by myself. Remember I'm good.
Like quitter, woo, yeah, my problem big, but I know God way bigger. What you spec? Once you level up, don't you know the boss is bigger? Yeah, you spend a lot of time daring myself, then I spend a lot of time comparing myself, turning to the dad, then the fear of myself, overthinking to the point I wasn't fearing myself. Now I know why Chappelle went missing, now I know why Brick got the Clippers, now I know why Ye started tripping. The pressure and the expectation get ya.
Oh hell, if they don't like it, I might turn up by myself.
But I ain't done.
Back here on the edge, that last one was Andy Mineo, I Ain't Done. And neither are we, because the edge is still rolling on. Now, we're going to talk about our verse for the show. I'm going to remind you of that. It comes from John 8:36. And I won't read the preceding verses, but it says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." All right, moving on to nerd news. Now, we have some great and exciting things to talk about in our nerd news section. I'm just going to run through the stories, and then we'll go into them in more depth. So, first one off the chopping block, Patrick Stewart to reprise the role of the famous Jean-Luc Picard in a new series. This one shocked the Star Trek fandom like nothing else, because we thought he was done. But nope.
Mm-mm.
Make it show. He's back.
Back in this thing.
We heard from Matt Reeves, who's making the standalone Batman movie. There's lots of rumors swirling about what it would be about. So we're going to talk about what he's actually got to say about it. We're going to mention a little light and fluffy piece. So The Rock buys his stunt double, a decked out truck, which I thought that was a cool little, in a, like, if you couldn't love Dwayne The Rock Johnson anymore, this one will burst the heart seams.
The Rock.
So we'll get into it. Sean Connery. Yeah, so talk about the Patrick Stewart, man. That one, Mike. Are you a Trekkie, or would you say that you have dabbled into the Trekkie?
Yes. My favorite characters. Now, I was not into it, but if it was on and there was nothing else on, I would watch it. I found it interesting, but it didn't hook me enough to get into it. But as a young boy, I was quite the fan of Diana Troy. Counselor Troy was my girl.
Yeah,
And then I like Data.
You know what's great is these guys, because of this show, I've seen Brent Spiner, who plays Data, in like several other shows, like in cameo guest appearances, and he's basically a mainstay in the Comic-Con and Worldcon circuits. So
nice,
he's out there. So anyway, Patrick Stewart to revive iconic Star Trek role, and this comes from news.com.au. It's the news that Trekkies wish for but could not possibly expect to actually happen. So as we mentioned before, that Patrick Stewart he surprised fans over the weekend when he announced that he's going to reprise the iconic role of Jean-Luc Picard in a new Star Trek series. Now, Stewart played Picard for 178 episodes across 7 seasons in Star Trek The Next Generation, and that was from 1987 to 1994, and in 4 Star Trek films. The last time he donned the costume was in 2002. So he wrote on Twitter, "It's an unexpected but delightful surprise to find myself excited and invigorated to be returning to Jean-Luc Picard and to explore new dimensions within him, seeking out new life for him when I thought that life was over." He says, "During these past years, it's been humbling to hear stories about how the Next Generation brought people comfort, saw them through difficult periods in their lives, of how the example of Jean-Luc Picard inspired so many people to follow in his footsteps, pursuing science, exploration, and leadership." He says, "I feel I'm ready to return for the same reason, to research and experience what comforting and reforming light he might shine on these often very dark times. I look forward to working with our brilliant creative team as we endeavor to bring a fresh, unexpected, and pertinent story to life once more." Now, details of this series are scant, but we do know that CBS, the U.S. network which owns the Star Trek rights, they're going to be doing it, and they successfully revived the sci-fi franchise last year with Star Trek Discovery, which over here plays on Netflix, and it is brilliant. It's a very, very good series. It definitely brings it into the modern age. So, very exciting stuff. Patrick Stewart, we just mentioned him last Ed's show, ironically, and here he is. He's back.
Now, I do work with a Trekkie here, our digital manager, and we were talking about it today. He says that this is not going to be on regular cable TV. It's going to be exclusively on their app. And then he says he will lose his mind if it's a younger cast and Patrick Stewart is only like a voiceover, like the Wonder Years, where he's like kind of narrating what happened when he was younger.
Oh, no. I don't think it will be. From what this says, it seems like it's just going to be an older Picard with another cast. I don't think the original cast is coming back.
Back Diana Troy.
I don't think we're going to see Jonathan Frakes as, number one. I don't think we're going to see Michael Dorff coming back. I don't think Brent Spiner's coming back. I mean, those guys have moved on. You know, Worf is doing other things. Data's doing other things. And I'm assuming that Diana Troy is doing other things as well. But you never know. In this world where everything old is new again, stay tuned.
Yeah. I can only see the top of your head now.
Have I shrunk? Oh, no. You know what it is? The blue tack on this thing is letting up.
Ah.
There we go.
Nice.
I'm back. All right. So moving on to DC. So Matt Reeves is the director of the next standalone Batman movie titled The Batman. And there's been a few things that are up in the air. So number one, we don't know if Batfleck is still in.
He better be. He was a great Batman.
I thought so as well. The internet has got so many memes of him out there making fun of him. But if you're listening, Ben Affleck, by some miracle, you hang in there.
Yeah.
You keep that cowl because you are an amazing Batman.
Keep cashing these checks, dog.
So we don't know. I've heard rumors of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh no!
Being the Batman. Now, one that I wouldn't
terrible
mind was old Dom Draper. What's his real name?
I know who you're talking about. Not for sure.
Yeah, that he was interested in taking on the Batman, which I think he would actually be as good.
What about the guy that played Jax in SOA?
No, that would be terrible.
You think so? Charlie Hunan or whatever his name is?
I could see him as being maybe Nightwing or something like that, but yeah. Definitely not Batman. But so we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to be wearing the cape and cowl, but we do know this, that it's been reported that his movie will be featuring the story based on Frank Miller's Year One. He's come in and he said it's absolutely not true. Mm. He says what he's talked about is making a very point of view, noir-driven, definitive Batman story in which he's investigating a particular case and takes us onto the world of Gotham. He said he went on a deep dive again, revisiting all of his favorite comics, those all informed by osmosis. There's no continuation of the Nolan films, and it's very much trying to find a way to do this as something that, for me, this is Reeves speaking, is going to be definitively Batman and new and cool. So it's actually not going to be based on any particular comic book story. Mm-hmm. It's going to be its own new thing. And I like that it's stepping out of the shadow. Now, the only thing that I will say, it will still be part of the DC Extended Universe, which is now called DC World. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it's stepping out of the shadow. I'm glad it's not going to be the Nolan films. I'm gonna step out here and say I'm a huge Batman fan, but I hated the Nolan films.
Wow.
Hated them. I mean, can somebody please get Bruce Wayne a lozenger?
I'm Batman.
Well, he's got to disguise his voice, dude. I mean, he doesn't have the voice changer like...
Yeah, but you know what? If he come up with all that tech, why couldn't he find something for his raspy voice?
Yeah, you're right.
Seriously, you know, if you talk about Batman, I want to say this. Michael Keaton, for me, best Batman, worst Bruce Wayne.
Really?
Absolutely.
I quite enjoyed both parts with Keaton.
All right, well, I'm taking in the look as well. So if you remember the Michael Keaton Bruce Wayne, like almost balding, like almost afro kind of, I don't know what that was on top of his head.
Yeah, but I like that because he's unexpected. Like you don't expect him to be a master martial artist, you know? You don't expect him to be a Billy Badday. I mean, somebody like you look at the other guys, you know, Clooney, Kilmer, although we would like to forget about their movies, you know, in fit,
fat nipples,
fit dudes. You look at what was the one before Affleck? Who's that?
You're talking about Christian Bale. That's what I'm talking about.
Christian Bale.
Raspy voice.
Yeah, he looked like he could do work. So I mean, you know, he looked like a tough dude.
He was a great, like I said, he was a great Bruce Wayne. He was an okay Batman if he just fixed his voice. Whereas I think Affleck he's actually got both those categories pretty straight.
Yeah, but he's got the voice changer thing.
Except for he's also pretty, he's one of the most moodiest Batmans. Like he's sort of like Batman coming off of Prozac. But it remains to be seen, like I said, who will take on the cape and cowl? We don't really know. But I'm hoping that they just keep that continuity, keep Affleck in, because I think he's money.
Yeah, it's like, and if you're Affleck, why wouldn't you want this money? Speaking of money, I mean, you know you're in for the Justice League movies. You know you're in for the Batman movies. You're coming to the end of your career, possibly. I mean, obviously, another movie is not promised to you.
Mm.
Just roll with this character, man. It's freaking Batman.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and there's been a changeover in DC. So Geoff Johns was running DC. Now Jim Lee is. So Jim Lee, if you don't know about Jim Lee, he came to popularity creating the famous comic Wildcats, which is Covert Action Team. Mm-hmm. And then he started working for DC. He did the famous... Batman did the art on the famous series Batman Hush, which we mentioned a couple shows ago. So now he's actually taking the reins. And we still haven't heard any mention of the AT&T merger.
Yeah.
So we don't know how that's going to affect things. Maybe that'll just sort of be like a silent partner in the background and they just let DC do its thing. We don't know.
Right.
Anyway, I teased this earlier. Like I said, if you needed a reason to love Dwayne The Rock Johnson anymore, I'm going to give it to you right now.
Yeah.
So this story is reported from GeekTyrant.com. It says Dwayne Johnson not only has one of the biggest physiques in Hollywood, but he apparently also has one of the biggest hearts to go with it.
Oh.
Johnson paid it forward to his longtime stuntman and cousin, Tanoa Reed, by buying him a decked-out pickup truck. Who is he not related to?
Like, and why did it take this long? I mean, he's your cousin.
Yes, I don't know.
And you work with him on every movie set. I mean, you think he would have got him a truck by now. He got his nanny a car before his cousin.
Hey, look at you throwing shade at The Rock.
No, I love The Rock.
You simmer down now.
No, I love The Rock.
You simmer down. You simmer down.
It doesn't matter what I think about The Rock.
All right, so it says in a recent Instagram post, he says, surprise, I love handing you your keys. I love you, brother. Enjoy your truck. Over the course of my career, my stunt double and cousin, Tanoa Reed, Samoan stuntman, has broken multiple bones, severed tendons, torn ligaments, and just been an overall dominating BA, achieving several Stuntman of the Year honors, all done with one goal in mind, to deliver the best movie possible to the world.
Keeping The Rock safe.
He said, I had this custom pickup truck delivered just in time to surprise him. He's still recovering from a stunt injury. While we give what he thought was going to be an interview about our careers together. As you'll see, the moment I put my hands on my hips, that's the diverse cue to pull away and reveal the big surprise. So there's a video attached to it, which we don't have here. It says, not only does Tanoa represent our family and my career with relentless commitment and passion, he also represents an entire Hollywood stunt community that is truly the backbone of our business. Love you, Uso, and thank you for the blood, sweat, tears, and years. We're just getting started. Enjoy your new truck. Hashtag let's roll. So,
wait, do you see a picture of the truck?
Yeah, it's massive.
What kind is it? Like a Ford or a Chevy or Dodge?
I can't see the front of it, but I think that The Rock has, I think he has something to do with Ford. I think he's actually one of the spokespeople or something like that for Ford. As well as, like, dude is a, like, we thought Michael Jordan was a money-making machine, an endorsement machine. The Rock is all over the place. Now, apparently, this is related because it's The Rock, but not related because of the truck. But, so Under Armour took Rock on a couple years ago as one of their endorsees, and, every year he's put out a signature shoe, it has sold out in minutes.
Wow.
So he's got workout gear. I'm looking here. He's actually got the Brahma Bull logo on there. Now, I saw this recently that he actually covered up the Brahma Bull.
Yes, he did.
With what in the world is that thing on his arm?
It's like a cow skull.
It is ugly.
You know, there's a video on the YouTubes with him explaining, you know, what it means and how, you know, he has progressed through life. And it's got a meaning behind it.
Oh, look, okay. You just covered up your trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're The Rock. Is this him saying, and this is just my question, is this him saying, bye-bye wrestling, hello Hollywood?
Well, I mean, you know, no. Because he's a grounded dude. He knows Vince McMahon made him. That's why he's been back, you know, a handful of times since he's been gone.
Yep.
But at the same time, I mean, hey, let's call brass tacks brass tacks. It was a crappy tattoo.
It was, what are you talking about, the Brahma Bull?
Yeah. It was terrible. Looked like he got it in prison. Yeah, it was garbage. Google image that thing.
I have had a look at it. See, the thing is, though, that I think why it offends me so is that, like, that logo, that terrible tattoo, as you say, is all over the place. If that's such a terrible tattoo, explain to me Goldberg's tribal tattoo.
Well, that doesn't mean it's good either.
Let's see, but still, was that not used on, like, every merch? So what I'm trying to say is that's his brand. That was his identifying feature. That and the eyebrow, that was The Rock.
Well, I mean, that was his identifying feature in the WWE, yeah.
Yeah.
And but I guess you know, it's going to stick. He's forever going to be the Brahma Bull. But I'm looking at it right now. That's garbage. This thing that he's got now is like a work of art. Even though it's weird, it's a work of art.
So where are you pulling up the picture of the new tattoos? Just so we can sort of throw that out to our listeners.
I just went to Google and put in The Rock Brahma Bull and hit images.
Okay. Yeah, so you can see it for yourself. But
they got some side-by-sides, the old one and the new one.
I think it's still garbage. Anyway,
The Rock is so, smiling about it right here. He likes it.
I would love to talk to you guys about an extensive new release list, but IVM or Indivision Music haven't actually put anything up. So we're going to turn to second place, which is new release today.
It's the and, day the music died.
And they're going to tell us what's come out. Now, this is not an extensive list by any means. This is just sort of, I think, what's charting on the CCM. So,
some shade.
So you guys enjoy that. So we've got Riley Clemens in the pop rock genre with the self-titled Riley Clemens. Phil Wickham with Living Hope in the praise and worship genre. Mm-hmm. We've got Narrow Skies in the electronic dance genre. We've got Die Free featuring Kevin Young single in the by Fireflight.
Nice.
Which is a good one in the hard rock or metal. We've got This Time by Brian Andrew Wilson for gospel. We've got Dwell by David and Nicole Binion from Praise and Worship. James Fortune, The Collection in the gospel section. Gordon Mote, Love, Love, Love in AC Inspo. we've got, man... Caleb and Kelsey with Timeless Worship, Feet in the Sand by Free G, which is electronic dance. Mm-hmm. The Return EP by Praise and Worship. We've got Collington In Between, which is apparently a pop rock band. I Have Decided by Seventh Time Down, which is a single.
Nice.
Won't Stop Now by Elevation Worship.
Won't stop. Can't
and
stop.
And then we've got Cam, spelled K-H-A-M, from the Rap or Urban selection with Loading, which is a single. And it's great because the picture I'm looking at is an old orange Game Boy Color.
Yes.
Which has a loading screen on it.
Playing Excite stuff. Bike.
Now, your boys are not going to leave you in the dust because we have a couple other picks that weren't mentioned. One of them, I'll just say really quickly, if you're a fan, even though all of the conspiracy has happened about the dirty words being said by My Carrera, MXPX is out. That's all I'll say. But the one I want to talk about, we're going to play a track tonight.
Yeah.
We've got Earth Groans coming in with their new EP, Rahab, and it is blistering metal. Have you had a chance to listen to any of the tracks, Mike?
Yes, I have. And it's not pronounced Rehab?
It's Rahab, isn't it? Like Rahab in the Bible?
I don't know. Maybe. Looks like rehab to me, but I wasn't thinking of it being a biblical sense, so it may be.
I might have mispronounced it. I did buy it last night. It was like really, really late. dun, going down. No, it's Rahab, R-A-H-A-B.
Oh, see, right here on our show notes, you have it as rehab.
That's because...
It was
auto-correct.
Late. Dude, no.
No.
You were up so late last night. I was like, why is this guy still messaging me?
Yeah. It was, look, autocorrect. I have a bone to pick with you, autocorrect. We'll talk about this on another show, but I've got you in my sights.
It's like Rahab. No, that's not a word.
Yeah, so that's right. So yeah, Rahab, new EP. there are five tracks. Rain, Avarice, Heathen Heart, Allure, and By Faith, and each one of them will make your face peel off bit by bit. It is blistering. It is fantastic. So make sure that you check that out. And we're going to play one tonight. That's just a little bit of a sneak peek. But up next, we have got some exciting news coming into Gen X Radio.
Yes.
So stick around on Hope FM 103.9. And back here on the edge, it's time for Gen X Radio. Now, up first on the chopping block is our favorite. He's almost like an integral part of the show, as his name comes up every show. You know what we're talking about. We're talking about Uncle Dave.
Yes.
Not Dave Meltzer.
No.
Dave Grohl.
Uncle Dave.
So Dave Grohl... We know him to be a man of many talents, and he's put his toe into the waters of documentary film. I don't know if you ever watched Sonic Highways, Mike. Did you watch that series?
No, negative.
You can't see my face because the camera's shifted again, but
just seeing your forehead.
You can see it. So you would have saw the arch and the
No, your forehead. Your forehead was telling the story for sure.
You need to watch that stat.
Is that on the Netflix?
No, it's not. I had to go out and buy the Blu-ray. It was put out by HBO or Showtime, one of those anyway. I bought the Blu-ray, and it's amazing. So it basically chronicles the making of Sonic Highways, the album, and they go to different studios all across America. They actually stopped in New Orleans and recorded in New Orleans. And then he basically writes the song while he's there, listening to the story of the people there, the musicians and stuff like that, and then they record the song.
Nice.
So, like, when they went to Nashville, they met up with Zac Brown from the Zac Brown Band, recorded in his studio, and, man, you just got to listen to it. That's all I can say. But moving on to this one. So Dave Grohl, obviously he's got, him and the Foos have a new album out, Concrete and Gold. They're touring on that. But is that not for Dave? No, it's not enough for Dave, because Dave wants to do more. So August 10th just dropped that Dave's going to be releasing a 23-minute instrumental from a documentary that he's doing called Play, in which he was inspired by his daughters to undertake the most, what it says, challenging recordings of his career. And the reason that he sort of did this is he was sort of sitting back. He was inspired by his daughter's music lessons. You know, and to just take on one of the most challenging projects of his career. It says that he carved out some time from the band's world tour to write and record Play. It's an epic 23-minute instrumental composition that he will unveil on August 10th. Grohl plays 7 instruments live on the piece, including his preferred guitar and drums, as well as other percussion keyboards. If he made a mistake, even at the 20-minute mark, he would have to start from scratch with some of the instrumental parts taking hours to complete. At least he didn't have to write 23 minutes worth of lyrics. The inspiration for the ambitious musical piece came from watching children at music class rehearsing over and over again to play a song perfectly, including his daughters, Violet and Harper. He says, "Watching my kids start to play music and learn to sing and play drums, it brings me back to when the time I was their age listening to albums, learning from listening. And when I take my kids to the place where they take their lessons, I see these rooms full of children. They're really pushing themselves to figure this out," he says. "And even now, as a 49-year-old man, I'm still trying to figure it out. It's not something that you ever truly master. You're always chasing the next challenge, and you're always trying to find a way to improve on what you've learned." So, look forward to that August 10th. Man, that's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Dave has actually said in other interviews that he started out listening to Beatles records, you know, and the fact that he's trying to encourage people. Now, you put a post up the other day, I think it was, from the lead singer Spoken.
Yeah, good stuff, yeah.
Wow, that was such an inspiring thing. So yes. I'll just sort of break it down for you. Basically, he was saying, look, don't ever say that your music or your art is not good enough to put out there. He says, you never know what people are going to pick up on, what's going to change people's life for God. So if you have a dream to go out there and be in a band, to sing, to play guitar, whatever it is, maybe it's not even music related, don't let fear of failure particularly, hold you back.
Right.
And it's a fantastic message, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I like the way you said, you know, like you alluded to, he was like, no matter how you think you sound, if God wants to use it, the sky's the limit.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it was really encouraging for a lot of young musicians out there because, you know, with him touring for so long, he probably sees the Christian rock industry dying right in front of him because people are choosing different paths because, you know, it's coming to the point where it's like, so if you're a Christian rocker, you know, you're not legitimized by either crowd because, you know, rock isn't, I guess, looked favorably upon at the church for the most part. And then, you know, you go and do a secular club and maybe, you know, you get a bad reaction there and you want to call it quits.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think also one of the things that he really pointed out was the fact that, fear of failure. And I think that's something that we can all relate to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something we've all wanted to do. And I think it's great. And what I think is really great is at the end of his little tweet or his post, he actually says, look, if you're a band and you're wanting to start out and you need some advice, hit me up. So he's backing it up and putting himself out there saying, you know what, guys, I'm going to help mentor you.
Yeah. And he was saying he wants to go on a tour where it's not backed by a lighting company and a sound company. He wants to go play small bars, small venues with bands that are just starting out.
Yeah, that's so good. It's so nice to see that happening in the music industry where it can be really, really competitive. You want to be the guys in the spotlight, but I love how this guy's heart and the band's heart has just come out and really, really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And he looks so cool in that picture.
He does. It is a fantastic picture.
Yes.
All right, so moving on. So, you know, we've lost Tom Petty recently, and we mentioned couple shows back, he's going to be putting out an archival box set called An American Treasure. Now, this is something we didn't expect. So Tom Petty is the first artist with a posthumous top 10 hit on the Billboard Adult Alternative Songs charts. So apparently he released a single called Keep a Little Soul, and this thing has just rocketed to the charts. Now, Mike, you work in sort of classic rock era music, don't you?
Yes.
Has this come across your desk?
No, it has not. I would imagine because it is a new tune, we would not play it.
Yeah, gotcha. It would probably, Tom Petty.
Yeah, it would probably hit active rock stations
first. Yeah, gotcha. Well, it says it broke into the top 10 Billboard Adult Alternative Song. What is Adult Alternative anyway? Like, I feel like that's a really bad way of saying old people music.
Well, I would imagine that alternative died the day that Kurt Cobain died. Why is there even still an alternative chart? There's no alternative music anymore. It's all corporate rock.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is, like, if I go into iTunes over here in Australia and I go to the genres, there's alternative, but it's not what I would call alternative. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. It doesn't resonate with the alternative I knew.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, you know, all you guys out here, whoever job it is to name these genres, can we just change it? Because adult alternative, that sounds really bad. It's like nursing home music.
And you know what's funny? When you look at the adult alternative chart and then you look at the active rock chart, it's the same songs, just reordered a little bit. Essentially.
Something's got to change. Something's got to change.
Yeah.
But if you want to see the song yourself, looks like there's a little bit of a YouTube clip. Keep a Little Soul. Make sure you check it out. Now, I'm going to throw this over to Mike because we got a little surprise for y'all.
Yes, we do. Edge Nation, if I said, have you ever heard of the band Razzle? What would you say?
Negative.
Yeah, most people say Razzle. Razzle Dazzle? Nah, never heard of them. Shake and Bake. Well, they were active from 1988 to 1994. Then they turned into a band called Stain from 1994 to 1996. But then they got signed by a little small record label out of California called Malicious Vinyl. And they found out that, hey, there's a band out there called Stain already. We need to change our name. And then magic happened. The little band from Fullerton, California renamed their band to Lit. And we have an interview with founding member. And we're going to have to pull back the curtain a little bit here, Josh. I'm pretty famous for this. I called this guy Kevin Blades the whole episode. That's not his name. Oh, man. His name is like Kevin Ballads. Blads. Probably Blads. Kevin Blads. But I called him Blades the whole time, and he never corrected me.
You know what? He probably was like, that's a good idea, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was telling people. I was like, he probably liked that, and he's probably making a stage name for himself right now, like 20 years after the band, you know, got started.
he's gonna drop Kevin, and he's just going to be Blades.
Blades. Yeah, so, man, we were fortunate enough to get an interview with Kevin Blades. Blades? Kevin Blades.
Blades?
From Lit, who is their original bass guitarist. He did a little lead vox from 1988 until 89 until they moved AJ Popoff from drums to lead vocals. So, should we get into it, Josh? Let's do it.
It's
Well, we've been teasing it all show long. Kevin is on our hotline. Let's go ahead and get this thing kick-started. Kevin, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Man, I am doing amazing. So you guys are coming down this Friday, 8:30 p.m. at the H2O Concert Series. It is the Loudwire's Gen X Summer Tour, Buck Cherry, POD, Lit, and Ellie and Ant Farm at the Golden Nugget. We're excited to have you guys in town, all us 90 babies. Man, we are definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be awesome. It's been a fun tour. We're about halfway through it already, and it's been awesome. We've been playing with a lot of these bands for many years. We've actually been playing with Alien Ant Farm for, I'm not even going to tell you how long, but it's been a while. But we kind of came up together, so it's been one of those kind of things, you know, summer camp with all your friends.
Right, exactly. Let's start off pre-lit. Now, you guys started off, now I got to ask, who came up with the name Razzle for the band?
Oh, man, that was so long ago. I think our singer, AJ, did, and he used to be the drummer. I mean, dude, we were still in diapers when that was around. But, you know, part of the band, Henry Ross, the drummer's name was Razzle that Vince Neil killed. That's kind of where we grabbed the name from.
Right. And then, so, you guys started out as a punk rock grunge band. How did Fullerton, California mold that sound?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different bands that come from Fullerton or even Orange County. I mean, I would kind of generally just say Orange County. I mean, we all grew up in the 70s. AJ and Jeremy's dad was a DJ on Top 40 Radio. I mean, we all kind of grew up on everything from Kenny Rogers to Van Halen to Iron Maiden to, dude, literally everything. I mean, in my own household, my dad was listening to ABBA and Johnny Cash, and my mom and sister were listening to Kenny Rogers. And I mean, it really was just a petri dish of just tons of different kinds of music. So even today, I mean, you can go on our bus and you'll hear Foreigner, you'll hear Brothers Osborne, you'll hear Pantera. We listen to literally everything. I mean, there really isn't a cap, you know, there isn't like some kind of rule of what we got to listen to. And that's kind of what Lit is, really. I mean, we're just a melting pot of different kinds of things,
and it just depends on what month it is, and we'll write or play something different, you know.
Right. So in 1999, you guys released the album A Place in the Sun, and of course, that spawned the hit single My Worst Enemy. Were you guys sitting back when you were recording this? You're going, dude, this is it. Or was it a surprise?
I mean, we thought that of every song. you know, once we started playing that song out and friends started hearing it, and it definitely was tugging on people's ears a little bit, you know? And then, you know, I can't say that we recorded it and we thought, oh, wow, here it is. You know, the rest of our lives is taken care of. This is it. Because we were just writing and recording all the time. I mean, but yeah, that song kind of rose to the top. And it literally, when it was on the radio, when it came onto the radio, what was it, early 99, mm-hmm. I mean, it took off like wildfire. It was, and our lives were changed. I mean, that song literally opened doors and the phone started ringing and we got offers to do all kinds of crazy stuff. So we were seriously, seriously blessed with a song like that. And it really paved the way for us, you know?
Right. And speaking of the video, how in the world did you guys get Pam Anderson on that video?
Honestly, Pam Anderson came to us. They wanted to use music in her TV show, VIP.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another. They wrote us into the script as just a walk-on, and then they came to us again, and they said, hey, we're thinking about just writing a whole episode where Pam saves you guys, and we're from Russian spies or something. So we said, yeah, man, well, why not? You know, when and where? So we literally filmed the whole episode with her all for a whole week in December of 99. And at the same time, we asked her, hey, do you want to be in our video? We have a video treatment, you know, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. So essentially, you're going to be a huge woman, and we're going to be tiny little guys playing on your body. And she said, yeah, dude, totally in. And so she had the idea, okay, let's premiere the video on my VIP show. And we said, that's a great idea. So we premiered it on that. But what that did is it got us into a ton of countries that we weren't already in. You know, I want to say I met kids from Greece and stuff that heard about Lit through the VIP TV show, you know, and their first song wasn't My Worst Enemy. It was Miserable.
Right. So. And to support that record, you guys performed over 286 shows and toured worldwide. And you talked about kids from other countries digging lit. What's your favorite country that you've ever been to that you've toured in?
England.
England?
Yep.
And what's that?
Those kids over there, the people over there really, really love their music. We can go over there right now and tour, and it's like 1999 again. I mean,
nice.
They sing every word. Every song in our set is like my worst enemy. You know, it's not like, oh, yeah, they're playing the hit song, here it is. I mean, they love every song, and they know the words to it. I mean, they really love their music over there. And you know, you look at some of their festivals over there, and you'll see Iron Maiden, and you'll see a lot of the new bands, and you'll see bands that date back even, you know, pre-Iron Maiden, and the people over there just love them all. You mm-hmm. know, it's really cool. So without a doubt, I would say England.
How cool was it to be booked on Woodstock 1999?
It was awesome, man. Like I said, when My Own Worst Enemy was taken off, the phone started ringing, and every day we were, you know, just getting going and starting out touring in support of that album. But the manager would call us, and it was like, well, we got offered, you know, Offspring tour, and then all of a sudden, you guys are no longer opening the Offspring tour. You're supporting Offspring worldwide. You know, we went all over Europe and stuff with them. And then we also got to tour with Joe Strummer from The Clash with the Offspring. That was incredible. And then all of a sudden, you get the phone call, hey, you guys got offered to, you know, be on the Woodstock deal. It was unreal. And then we got a phone call, you know, a couple weeks later, hey, Kiss wants you to, you know, open up for them on the Millennium. You know, a lot of people need to understand, I mean, when the Millennium New Year's Eve thing was happening, a lot of people thought the world was going to end at the stroke of midnight. And where are you going to be? Where are you going to be partying? Are you going to go underground? What are you going to do? I mean, we got offered to go with, you know, Kiss, all original members, and that was incredible. I'm a huge Kiss fan, so I was blown away. And when we went out there and did that show, we were the only band on the bill to go backstage and meet them and get a photo with them. And man, it was just a great time. And honestly, it still is. I mean, we're out here right now on a 2.5 month tour across the U.S. I mean, it's great. I have no complaints, man. This is great.
Right, we're chatting with Kevin Blades from the band Lit. They're going to be at the Golden Nugget this Friday, 8:30 p.m., H2O Concert Series. It's the Loudwire Gen X Summer Tour with Buck Cherry, P.O.D., Lit, and Alien Ant Farm. Now, your first album, we talked about it a little bit. You guys were punk rock grunge. Then you get signed by RCA, and you have a place in the sun. Then all of a sudden, you started getting described as pop punk and power pop. Did you guys want to resist that at first?
Dude, we don't care. Whatever people want to call us, we are with you. I mean, honestly, man, I don't care. Call us what you will. I think a lot of people lumped us in. I mean, with My Own Worst Enemy out there like it was, I mean, we were getting offers, you know, the Warped Tour offer. We got offered the Offspring thing. So people lumped us in as a punk rock band. We're just a rock and roll band, you know? I don't really know. Again, we listen to a ton of different things. So we are what we are. You can call us what you want. Some people hate us. Some people love us. I don't care. You know?
Right.
Honestly. So, we never tried to run away from anything, you know? I don't really... I know how to answer that because... yeah. There
well,
you go.
Well, let's talk about your current sound. You guys have a new album out called These Are the Days.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, man. Good problem to have. That song... It's a wonderful song, man. I really enjoy
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So you guys have more of a country music sound going on these days. What brought on that?
Well, Jeremy, our probably main songwriter in the band, he's been writing in Nashville for the better part of 13 years and meeting people out there. And when it came time to like start thinking about, hey, let's write some new music for Lit, it was like, well, I've got all these songs sitting around that are awesome. Let's try recording some of these songs and just kind of see how that goes. And I wouldn't, you know, some people might think, you know, when you hear the word country, you might start thinking Kenny Rogers or you might, some. I mean, I guess I do. I mean, you know, we're more of a hybrid of what would Lit sound like playing those songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still Lit. It's a bit different, but anybody out there, all our hardcore fans are completely on board with it. And it doesn't even throw them off that much because typically in the past, a lot of our Lit albums, have hard rock on them and then have songs that just kind of lean a little bit sideways, maybe aren't so hard rock, or I'd hate to use the word ballad. I mean, Miserable isn't necessarily a ballad. It's just a, I guess, slower song with a different kind of tone to it. So I don't really, lack of a better term, I mean, I would just call Lit a hybrid of a melting pot of things. You know, I wouldn't necessarily call Lit a country band. I mean, alternative melting pot music, I guess I would call it, if that makes any sense, you know?
Right. And speaking of labels and music genres and stuff like that, you know, it really shows how diverse and talented you guys are, from going from hard rock to more of a pop sound to now more of a country sound, and doing every single thing very well. You guys are so well-rounded. It blew me away. When I first heard Good Problem to Have, I was like, holy crap. Thanks, man. This needs to be a number one song on country radio.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we play that song. We're out on this tour right now, and a lot of people were asking us, well, how are you going to play the new songs? We're just going to play them, man. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. We're going to play old songs. We're going to play new songs and everything in between. I don't care, you know. And we just try to construct the set list to make it make sense, you know. But we have this song called Someday Maybe, and it's probably one of the slower songs on the new album. It's probably my favorite song on the new album. And, dude, I think when you play something live honestly and you're really believing the song, the crowd is going to believe it. And they have been. I mean, so we, you know, our sets are a little bit shorter on this tour, so we don't have a lot of time to be messing around. So we kind of jump right into it. And I think Someday Maybe is like song number 3 or 4 in our set. And when we jump into it, I mean, it literally, it's more of a tone. You know, we just set the tone and we just gently go into that song. But I think people kind of just watching us and taking the song in, they just believe it. And because we're believing it on stage. And then we usually go right into Good Problem. And then we dive back into some of the older stuff and finish the set off. But yeah, man, it is what it is.
Definitely. I got one more thing for you before we let you go, but we're talking to Kevin Blades from the band Lit. They're going to be at the H2O Concert Series this Friday at 8:30 p.m. at the Gold Nuggets, the Loudwire Gen X Summer Tour with Buck Cherry, POD, Lit, and Alien Ant Farm. Now, I'm sure you've toured Louisiana numerous times. What is your favorite go-to Cajun cuisine when you come around these parts?
I'm a gumbo guy.
Yes. Well, are you chicken and sausage or are you seafood?
Chicken and sausage, for sure.
I'm with you. That's the best one.
And kind of the creamier gumbo is what I like.
Are you going with okra in it?
Yeah, I love the okra.
Okay, yep. Nice.
Yeah.
So you're down with the Cajun Trinity.
I like jambalaya, too. I like a good jambalaya. But, I mean, dude, there's so many different recipes. So, I mean, gumbo can go from A to Z, and so can jambalaya. I mean, it goes all, as you know, with all the different spices and stuff. But, man, the food in Louisiana is awesome. Love it.
What's one thing that you've seen on a Cajun menu that you wouldn't try?
Frog legs?
Oh, dude, the frog legs? No, you got to overcome that, man.
Yeah.
Frog legs are a wonderful thing.
I'm willing to try anything.
Who's that?
I'm usually willing to try anything.
Has anybody in the band ever ate frog legs?
I think we have.
Okay.
I you know what? To be honest with you, I may have eaten frog legs. I stopped drinking 2 years ago. So anything prior to that, I'm not really sure what I've done, but I'm almost certain I've had frog legs.
If you did, I'm sure you loved it at the time.
Yeah, deep fried. Anything deep fried is great.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, the moniker that it tastes like chicken is so true. You get over the fact that it's a frog leg, and man, it's scrumptious.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for your time. We're looking forward to seeing you guys this Friday at the Golden Nugget at the Gen X Tour. Man, have a good time down here in Louisiana. Get you some gumbo, and we'll see you there.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me, man.
What a fantastic interview. That was Lit and Blades.
Kevin Blades.
Blades. Up next, we're going to retro replay.
He was a good sport.
He was, yeah. So a retro replay. We've got Everlong by the Foo Fighters. Coming in at number 2, we've got Jesus Freak by DC Talk. And then I thought I would just take you a little higher with Creed.
I love that song, dude.
I was getting cold chills listening to it last night because I listened to all the music just to make sure that we don't have any naughty words. And Creed was one of these bands that you were a fan in the 90s, but if you're a fan now, it's almost like Nickelback status. You just have to sort of hide your fandom in the secret.
Like a scarlet letter.
I'm coming out of the Creed closet today. I love Creed.
Oh, man. When they got the reunion show and they came out and they started touring again, did you listen to that album any?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man, that was some great stuff.
Look, and still, if you're a fan, I've not really listened to much of it, but you got Alderbridge, which is Mark Tremonti, and then you got Tremonti, yes, which is Mark Tremonti. He's an amazing musician. And Scott Stapp put out a couple of actual Christian records, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But according to Stapp, they've always been Christian. Nobody just asked them.
Wait, that's what he said?
Yeah. Yeah, they've always... He did an interview like after the fallout and everything. It's like, we've always been, you know, Christian-based, but nobody's ever really asked us.
No, I've seen him on an interview where he said that because of his strict Christian upbringing, he wanted to get away from that. It turned him off.
That was while he was in the band. But, like, this is after he left the band and they broke up and everything, and then he went to his whole CCM route.
Yeah.
And he did, like, all the Christian stuff, and then he pretty much just came out and said, oh, yeah, yeah, we're Christians, but, you know, we were trying to... he said, nobody really asked us flat out, and we were sort of... Because their Wind Up Records also signed 12 Stones.
Right.
So they were sort of a... I don't know if they were an offshoot of BMG, were they?
No. But then Evanescence was considered a Christian band until they came out and said, you know, forget the Christian market. But no, remember when, because we worked at a local American Family Radio affiliate in our town, and our manager reached out. I couldn't believe she did this. She reached out to Wind Up Records about the whole Evanescence Paul McCoy thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the guy who owned Wind Up told her, look, you know, we're not a Christian label, but we do respect Christians and we respect their feelings. And if Evanescence wasn't a huge hit machine like they were, we would have cut them from our roster.
Yeah, wow. So that's good integrity. But anyway, that's sort of like an offshoot there. So, where was I? Oh, yeah, sorry. We were going to take you higher with Creed on our retro replay. Guys, thanks so much for sticking around. And when we come back, Mike's got something on his mind. Mm-hmm. What is it this week? I'm not sure he even knows yet.
Oh, I know.
I've waited here for you ever long. Tonight I throw myself into and out of the red, out of the head she sang. Waste away with me, down with me. Slow how you wanted it to be. I'm over my head, out of head, she said. And I sing along with you. If everything could ever feel this real forever, if anything could ever be this good again, the only thing I'll ever ask of you, gotta promise not to stop when I say when. She said. Breathe out so I can breathe you in, hold you in.
in now. I know you've always been out of your head, out of my head, I sang. And I wonder when I sing along with you, if everything could ever feel this real forever. If anything could ever be this good again. The only thing I'll ever ask of you, gotta promise not to stop when I say. Gotta promise not to stop when I say.